This time of year, at the end of September and the beginning of October, we celebrate the holy angels. We have the feast of Saint Michael and all the angels on September 29th. And just a few days later, the feast of the holy guardian angels. And then a little later this month, we have the feast of Saint Raphael. During this time, the church wants us to think about the other world. As the world starts to get darker, the days get longer, the evenings and the mornings become darker, along with seeing all of nature start to die around us for the year. We start to think about what lies on the other side of the veil, and we think more about the supernatural world. So the church takes advantage of this to help us enkindle a little extra devotion to the holy angels. So, in honor of these holy angels and these feasts, I wanted to talk today about a beautiful story about an angel in Holy Scripture. There are countless stories involving angels in Scripture, so it was hard to choose one. But I decided today to tell the story about the apparition of Saint Michael to the false prophet Balaam, because it's one of the most unique and interesting stories. In fact, in some ways, it's one of the strangest stories in all of Scripture, and that is a very high bar. This story is related in the book of Numbers. You may remember the Jews were kept as slaves in Egypt until God brought them out and into the promised land that he had given to them. God gave them the land of Israel to live in after they left Egypt. But there were other people living there at the time, pagan peoples. And God told the Jews to drive those people out because he had given the land to them. In fact, God used them as a way of punishing those pagans for their idolatry and their other sins. But the Jews had to fight wars against these people to take the land that God had given them. Now, even though they were fighting, God was on their side. He was protecting them, and they advanced victorious across the land of Israel through one tribe's land after another. And the other tribes living there saw this invasion coming in, and they realized that the Israelites were undefeated, and they understood that God was making them win. And they became very afraid, and they tried to stave off destruction. But the account of this war is given in the book of Numbers, which is the fourth book of the Old Testament. Now, one of these tribes of people who saw the Israelites approaching was the Moabites, who lived in the land of Moab. And their king was a man named King Balak, who was a pagan, of course. And Balak saw what the Israelites had just done to his neighbors. And he was very afraid, and he said to the council of his elders, he said, "This people will destroy all that dwell in our borders, the way an ox eats grass, all the way down to the roots." And he sent messengers to a man named Balaam, who was a soothsayer, or a warlock, basically a witch. And Balak asked Balaam to come and put a curse on this people who were invading, and who he was expecting would defeat him in battle. He sent some of his nobles with a large sum of money to go and speak to Balaam and ask him to come curse the army of the Israelites. So Balaam gave these messengers dinner at his house and invited them to spend the night there, and was planning to go back with them the next day to do what they asked. It seems like he lived a good distance away, longer than just a one-day trip. But during the night, God spoke to Balaam and said, "Thou shalt not go with them, nor shalt thou curse the people, because it is blessed." And what God was referring to was the fact that he had laid a great blessing upon the chosen people, and when he made them his own. So Balaam had this warning from God not to curse the Israelites, and he was intimidated by it. And the next morning, the messengers that had come to summon him woke him up, and he told them to just go back home because God had told him not to do what they were asking. So the messengers went back and brought this answer back to their king Balak. And Balak figured, maybe he just turned me down because he wanted me to pay him more for this service. Warlocks and witches and people like that normally charge a fee for their services in putting curses and spells on people. It's a business. So the king sent more messengers back to Balaam, who were even more noble than the first ones. And they went back and said, delay not to come with us. The king is ready to honor thee and is ready to give thee whatsoever thou wilt. Come and curse this people. They basically told him that he could name his price and the king would pay it. Remember that the king thinks this is the only remedy that he has against the complete invasion and destruction of his people, so he's very desperate. And Balaam answers them, even if Balak offered me his whole house filled with silver and gold, I could not alter the word of the Lord my God. I cannot change what God has told me. But just as before, he invites them to spend the night at his house, since it was too late in the day for them to make the journey back. And this night again, God spoke to Balaam, the sorcerer. But this time, God told him to go with those men, but to do whatever God commanded him. So Balaam had permission from God to go, and the next morning he got up and saddled his donkey and went back with the messengers to the king. But scripture says that God was very angry about this sorcerer Balaam coming to curse his people. And God sent an angel to stand in the way of Balaam on the road as he was riding on his donkey with the two messengers from the king. But Balaam and the messengers were not able to see this angel that was standing in their way. He was invisible to them. But Balaam's donkey was able to see the angel, and the donkey was afraid of this angel shining with light and menacing all of them with a sword of fire. So the donkey turned in a different direction to get away from it and walked off the road into a field. And Balaam didn't know why the donkey did that, since he couldn't see the angel. So he beat his donkey and pulled it back onto the road. And the angel disappeared and allowed them all to continue. They went on a little bit further until they got to a place where there were two vineyards surrounded by walls on either side of the road, so that the road passed between both those walls. But it was pretty narrow. At this point, the angel stood between the two walls, right in the middle of the road. And again, only the donkey saw the angel, but Balaam and the messengers had no idea what was going on. The donkey at this point didn't want to just turn around, because it had gotten beaten last time it tried that. So it tried to squeeze its way around the angel by walking right next to the wall, and actually he scraped Balaam's leg against the wall as he squeezed past the angel. And of course Balaam didn't know why his donkey was acting this way, but he was pretty upset now, especially having gotten his leg smashed against the wall. And he beat his donkey again, and they continued. Finally, the angel appeared to the donkey a third time in another narrow place like that one, and this time there was absolutely no room for the donkey to squeeze past. So this time the donkey just stopped walking and sat down on the ground. Balaam was very angry and hurt and perplexed by this time, and he beat his donkey a third time. What follows at this point is one of the strangest passages in all of Scripture. It says, The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey said, What have I done to thee? Why strikest me now this third time? God made the donkey speak to Balaam with a human voice. And Balaam answered and said to his donkey, Because thou hast deserved it, and hast served me ill, I wish I had a sword that I might kill thee. And the donkey said, Am I not thy beast on which thou wast accustomed to ride up until now? Tell me if I ever did anything like this to thee before. And Balaam said, Never. And at that moment God allowed Balaam to see the angel that was standing in front of him on the road with a drawn sword, and he was so filled with terror that he fell on his face on the ground and worshipped the angel because he thought it was God. And the first thing the angel said was, Why beatest thou thy donkey these three times? I am come to oppose thee, because thy way is perverse and contrary to me. And if the donkey had not turned out of the way and walked away from me as I was standing in front of it, I would have killed thee. But the donkey would have survived. And Balaam said, I have sinned, not knowing that thou wast standing against me. And now, if it displease thee that I go, I will return. And the angel said, Go with these men and see that thou speak no other thing than that which I shall command thee. And he went with the princes. Now, there are a lot of questions about what I just read, and people have discussed this event extensively since it happened. First of all, was the donkey given a rational mind so it could understand this discussion with Balaam? No, of course not. It remained a dumb animal. But what happened was that the angel used the mouth of the donkey to speak to Balaam. The donkey didn't understand what it was saying any more than a talking parrot understands the words that it says. And then again, how could a donkey's mouth form the words of human speech? Well, it can't really. The commentators of Scripture explain that the angel made the donkey's mouth to move to form the vowels and the consonants as much as it was capable of doing so, and then the angel had to change the sound waves themselves to make them form the words that he wanted to say. Now, this is a fascinating story to me because it is almost completely unknown to have an animal actually have a conversation with a human being. Almost the only other reliable account that I could find of such a thing ever taking place since the creation of the world was in the Garden of Eden, when Satan spoke to Eve through the mouth of a serpent. But even that was before the fall of man, when some people believe the animals behaved differently than they do now. I was only able to find one other case of a talking animal, and that was in the life of a very obscure saint in Italy named Saint Galganus in the 12th century. This man had lived a very sinful life until God told him to leave the world and do penance for his sins. So he was ready to comply, but his family didn't want him to do this. Instead, they proposed that he marry a rich and noble woman and settle down and raise a family instead and reform his life by doing that. And he was riding on his horse to go visit this woman that they had chosen to be his wife, when his horse suddenly stopped and planted its feet on the ground and refused to walk another step, and the horse told Saint Galganus that God had not allowed him to go on this trip. And in that exact place, Saint Galganus became a hermit, and he lived there for the rest of his life, fasting and doing penance. But the story of Balaam and the donkey doesn't end there. The angel tells Balaam to continue on his journey, but only to say what God tells him to say. So he gets to King Balak. And Balak tells him to come out onto the top of a hill where they could look down on the army of the Israelites so he could curse them. It seems that Balaam had to be in the physical presence of this people in order to curse them, maybe in the same way that even the blessings and the sacraments of the church cannot be given remotely. The priest has to be in physical proximity to the person or the thing that he is blessing. But remember that Balaam was told by God only to say what God allowed him to say, and God did not want him to curse the Israelites. So instead, Balaam invoked a blessing upon the Jews. He said, "How shall I curse him whom God has not cursed?" And he goes on to praise the people of Israel and to say that they will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And he said, "Let my soul die the death of the just, and my last end be like to them." He wants to die the way those people will die, meaning that he believes they have the true path to heaven. Although, unfortunately, he did not want to leave his sins. But the king heard all of this and became angry, and he said, "I asked you to curse my enemies, and here you are blessing them instead." And Balaam says, "Can I say anything besides what the Lord commandeth?" So the king brings him to another place on a different ridge above the valley where the Israelites are, where they're only able to see part of the army. The king thinks that if Balaam can only see a smaller number of people, maybe he will be less afraid to curse them. But the same thing happens again. Balaam makes another prophecy about the power and the future glory of the chosen people. And again, these are not his words, but these are words that he is saying under the inspiration of God. God is forcing this evil warlock to prophesy and to praise his chosen people and to praise God himself. In the same way that God forced a donkey to speak like a human being. The king becomes angry about all of this, but Balaam just says, "I told you I would only be able to say what God wanted me to say, and that is all that he is allowing me to say." And the king says, "Fine, if you can't curse these people, at least don't bless them." And Balaam says again, "I have to say what God wants me to say." And at that point, the king gave up on the whole idea, and they both went home. The fathers of the church believed that this angel who was blocking the path of the donkey was Saint Michael the Archangel, because Saint Michael was the special protector of the chosen people, and he was blocking this man from coming and cursing them. After the death of Christ and the founding of the Catholic Church, of course, the new chosen people became the Catholic Church, and the saints teach that Saint Michael has now become the special protector of the Catholic Church. And this story is instructive to show us the invisible protection of the Church and the followers of God that we don't see. Saint Michael is still the patron of the Catholic Church. And even though the church is suffering terribly today, it's only what God has allowed. The only reason the church appears to be losing is because we don't see Saint Michael holding a flaming sword to protect the church, just like Balaam couldn't see the angel until God allowed him. But that doesn't make it any less real. The angel that was blocking the path of Balaam was so real that his donkey would not even walk in that direction. And this shows us that we have to have more confidence in the things that are not seen. God is not losing this struggle in the church. The enemies of the church are not winning either. They only appear to be winning. But as all these evils in the church are taking place, the angel with the flaming sword is ready to stop all of it Anytime God wants, God can even make his worst enemies bless him, even the most evil modernist or heretic, just as he made this diabolical sorcerer, the Satanist, Balaam, bless his people against his will. Let us have confidence in the protection of the angels, of our guardian angel, and the angels that protect the just and try to keep everybody on the path of holiness. Let us not forget about them. They are very much there, and they are very real, even if we can't see them.